A lot of us live by default instead of by design, which is what we help people with. It's like, if you choose it, the outcomes are going to be so much more enjoyable.
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, and welcome to the Wealth Embodied podcast, where we activate and inspire changemakers and leaders to embody wealth consciousness, creative genius, and their visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And today we're here to talk about choice. In humanity, we've always liked a lot of choice. Maybe choice is a good thing, maybe choice is a bad thing, but choice is definitely a choice. And today we're going to talk about the importance of choice with regards to wealth embodiment. And we're doing this with my wonderful guest here, Jesselyn Pearson, who educates and supports couples in creating transformative wealth plans with her husband, might I say. Her mission is to help couples align their goals, develop robust wealth strategies, and reclaim their time, enabling them to experience freedom, abundance, and a life by design. What a beautiful mission, Jesselyn. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Like, I'm a little bit tongue-tied all of a sudden. So let's talk about this. First, I want to start off with, is there a time in your life where choice was a big deal for you, where maybe you weren't making the choice that was leading you to your wealth?
Absolutely. I think I wasn't making the choice in life in a lot of things, and I was deferring it or deflecting it. And I'd find like something as simple as what do you want for dinner? When I'm talking to my husband and he knows I'm the picky one and he'll eat anything. He just got to a point where he's just like, Jess, I'm gonna eat it. It's not gonna impact me, but if I pick something and you don't like it, what are you gonna do with that, right? And I was like, that's a good point. But I always like wanted to be that people pleaser and like make sure that they were happy, even if that meant I wasn't. Because I really had to learn to get over that hurdle and understand that choice is powerful. Because you go in knowing exactly what you want, what you're gonna do, it's your decision, but with it becomes big responsibility. So now I can't say, well, I didn't decide that. I didn't choose that. That was his decision or that was your. Now it's like, ooh, I decided. I have to own that, good or bad, and be okay with that.
Love how you bring up responsibility because that's such a big part of wealth embodiment, isn't it?
Yes.
And I think it's really easy to not choose to create wealth, not choose to align ourselves with wealth. Then, in all honesty, like complain about it, right? Like,
Yep.
I'm not wealthy or I don't have things that I want in my life. But you're right. It's also then you have less responsibility, right? Then you're not taking that on. You're not being asked to make those decisions and stand behind them. Like, yeah, that was a choice I made, whether it was a success or a failure.
A lot of us live by default instead of by design, which is what we help people with. It's like, if you choose it, the outcomes are going to be so much more enjoyable and you get to decide where it goes and you won't sit there and go, well, that's always how it was done. Or that's how my family did it. Or that's what my husband wanted. Or that's what my kids. No, what do you want? Let's design that path and let's get you going so you love your life. You love what your future looks like and what you're bringing into your future instead of just dragging the past in the default. And then now you can be like waking up going, I love my life, whether it's your job, your career, your marriage, your finances. And so I bring it holistically, even though, of course, wealth is my passion and my mission, because without wealth, it's hard to accomplish what you want. But when it comes to wealth, I find a lot of people default there as well. They'll be like, so my husband does the finances and they fully abdicate the whole decision as if it's not their responsibility. And then later they, I'm speaking more on behalf of women because that's kind of who I'm around, but later they'll be like, yeah, but okay, what happens in case of a death, a divorce, a disability, the three big D's we call. And it's like, not only are you stuck with whatever that unfortunate situation is, you got to figure all this out and in a hurry. And it's overwhelming and exhausting, and it can break you right down to the core where you just want to fall in a ball and just kind of rock and be like, I know what to do with this. But if you plan it and you know what's coming, regardless of any circumstance, so much further ahead to be able to deal with whatever situation comes your way.
I can really resonate with that because all of my life I've been very independent. And then when I met my previous husband, he was very much into economics and into money management. So I kind of like over a span of our, you know, relationship of 12 years, at some point started to just divert it all to him, and he became the manager of the money. And when we divorced, I realized how much of my power I had given away. And, you know, not at his fault.
Yep.
That was my fault. You know, I was the one that chose to do that. And there was a lot of some conscious things around that about I had issues with money. I didn't really want to look at money. So it was like, sure, you take on that responsibility. You do that. I don't have to do that, right?
Yeah.
When we got to the divorce, okay, now I do have to do that. And I haven't been doing that. And wait, how do I do this? And now I have to do it alone. Like all of that really fell on my shoulders and, you know, in a powerful way of having to move through that challenge in my life, but not necessarily an easy way or potentially a healthy way.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up that it wasn't his fault. It was your choice. And something that my husband loves to say is choose your hard, right? Like it was hard for you to relearn it, figure it out on your own. Might have been hard for you to learn it in your marriage because it's easy. You do it, honey. You do it. Easy. Okay. But the hard came later. So choose it now. And so when later happens, if it does, not so hard.
I love that so much. Choose your hard now. Because then it is also feels like more of a choice that way, doesn't it? Like, now I'm choosing to like face this challenge and move through it, make myself a better person rather than like, oh, now this is on me and I have a choice to face it. And honestly, from my perspective, both of those are very powerful. However, we can perhaps see them differently, perceive them differently, and thus experience them differently. So I think what your statement said was so powerful because you bring that responsibility in now. And then guess what? If something does shift, you've already gone through that, but you went through it in a way that you chose to move through.
Yep. And you got more support, right? Because you know, you're on good terms in your marriage at that point, right? So they'll support you, teach you. You can do it together, and who knows? Could be one of the factors in the relationship that helped make or break it, right? Not for everyone, but money is the leading conversation of divorce. So take that into perspective and learn about money and how to build it, the wealth, the investing. I'm not saying like, go crazy and you got to learn about stocks and bonds and all that crazy stuff. If you want to, absolutely. But if not, at least know your wealth plan and be on board with your partner to grow it. And then this way, you know where it's going, good or bad, with the marriage, you know the outcome and where you can take it should things maybe not go the direction you were hoping for.
I know this is something that you guys speak to that, you know, couples need to align, right?
Yeah.
And this goes along with choice, right? Because if one of the partner is over here making choices in this direction with your wealth and your finances, and the other one is making choices going in the opposite direction or 45 degree, you know, different direction, you're not aligned, right? And those choices are going to, what comes through is like energetically have less impact, right? Than if you align your choices, now all of your actions are moving tandem and those choices are going to have more of an impact. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So my husband and I We are real estate investors, and we've been investing together since 2009. So we were always on board with the idea of investing in real estate together. But in 2016, my husband came home from work one day and said, he's done. He's maxed out. No more properties. And that didn't align with my goals. And so I signed him up for a program to go learn more about real estate. We have done it now. He was so happy with me at the time. But he went once. Once, the first time, and it completely changed his perspective and his outlook and his abundance mindset. And we bought three more properties in 18 months after that. We were currently buying one every 2 years. She just didn't know my vision, and I didn't know how to articulate it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to put you in a group, like a real estate investors group, where they think like this, and there's more men than women, so they can bond differently. And that was one of the best moves I've ever done with my husband. And he admits it too. But since that, we are now not just aligned. We have the same vision and we're walking the same path.
That's so powerful. And I feel kudos to him because even though it wasn't his initial choice, he still chose to take on that responsibility and join the group. That's hilarious. I have heard other people say, a lot of men actually say that their programs, the wives will sign their husbands up for the programs with the men. Yep. So that's hilarious. And so what are some of the most important choices we can consider with regards to our wealth?
I'd say firstly, choose it. Choose you want to be wealthy. And that might be a little bit longer path for some people, right? That might have to start with your mindset. Because if you have one of poverty, which I did, I grew up without money and that's what I knew. It took some time and self-development to change that and really understand that just because I grew up that way, that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. And just because my understanding of money, I inherited from one of my parents, I should say, which most of us do. We learn it from one of our parents or not both. I don't have to be like that. I can choose to change it and from there choose to build my wealth. So once you change your mentality, like, yes, I want wealth, then what does that look like? Because like you said, it's different for everyone. Figure out what that looks like for you, your partner, your family, and then start putting a plan together and action what that's going to look like. And we're not talking tomorrow, right? This is going to take months, years to build wealth. And even your mindset might take some time to shift. But when you do, I promise you, it changes. And it has for me. Now I see it everywhere. When I'm out and about, I'm just like, oh, money, money. Like you look, you're like, if there's a lineup in a fancy store, okay, people got money. If there's fancy cars driving around, money, money. I'm not saying they're all wealthy. They might not choose to spend their money wisely. But there's money everywhere. So we encourage people to realize there's enough money to go around. Just because you're getting a promotion or you're pursuing an adventure that makes you money doesn't mean your partner, like your boss or your neighbor or someone's losing out. They all have the choice to choose it as well.
I think saying choose wealth, it sounds really easy. I think a lot of people would maybe say, but I do want to live wealthy. But to really make that choice, devote yourself to that choice and really move along that path, that's what really delineates somebody who just says that they want to live wealthy and perhaps never makes the changes. And for those who do, I also grew up, you know, without a lot of money, and my ex-husband grew up with a lot of money. So it was interesting because when we had those dynamics, he didn't have any money fear. He didn't have a lot of limiting beliefs around money. Money was always one of those things. It was just always there.
Yeah.
He always had access to it. There were never conversations about like, oh, we can't afford that. That's too much money. We don't have any money. Don't spend money. It was quite the opposite in his family. And it was really nice to see that. You know, it was nice to see his mentality was very relaxed and he felt safe where I didn't feel safe. You know, I felt like there was limitations that there's a squeeze involved with money. Right?
Yes.
And just like you said, took me consistent choice, right? I had to say, I desire wealth and it's not showing up. and I'm choosing wealth and it's not showing up. And I'm choosing wealth and it's not showing up. And oh wait, it's beginning to show up.
Exactly. It takes time, right? And you can't just say it. Like your actions gotta follow it, right? And it's not like you put out there, I choose wealth, and you expect it to fall. And then you're going out there and you're going on a shopping spree and this and that. It's like, well, no, you got to be smart with your choices of money when it comes in and investing in what that looks like.
What do you recommend for somebody who definitely wants wealth, and yet that seems very elusive, right? Like, okay, I choose wealth. I choose to create wealth. What does that mean? You know, what? How do you recommend those first steps for them after that initial decision?
So I would recommend, firstly, ideally, they journal or write down, like, okay, you choose wealth, write that down. But then start writing down, what are your money beliefs? Because regardless of what you choose, that will get in the way, right? So figure out your money beliefs, because you're probably have to start there. And if they're great, awesome. If they're not, you're going to want to figure out, okay, where did they come from? What do they mean? What does that mean to you? Rewrite them, right? Reprogram what your money beliefs are. Start doing some research, like educating yourself on wealth, because it's a vast topic. And how do you want to be wealthy? And how are you going to invest? Like we specialize in real estate, but we understand there's tons of other opportunities out there that aren't necessarily real estate related that you could invest and make your wealth bullet. So once you've kind of figured out your money beliefs, then I would recommend you write down, what does wealth look like to you, right? Like maybe it's the life you live now, but you retire 10 years earlier. Or maybe it's you want to work 10 hours a week and take summers off right now because you've got kids and you want to spend time. Or maybe you want the whole thing. You want the beach vacation. You want to take your kids with you. You want to work, like ours is time and location freedom. That's our big thing, is we want to be able to work from wherever, kind of whatever. That costs money, and that costs a certain style that took us several years to get into process. So if you're kind of dedicated or stuck to a 9-to-5 in an office, you can't be location away, right? If you want to be, you can change it. You just got to look at how you get yourself to become remote working or start your own business. So really dig into what wealth means to you. And then once you figure that out, we recommend breaking that down. Okay, so what's it going to take? Break that into smaller goals and then tasks under that, because if it's overwhelming, you'll just shut down. You won't do it. But little tasks, and we say like one a day, and like especially if you're like full-time working, have kids, like you can't take on like 10, I'm going to conquer the world this week. And then, you know, your kid comes home crying and your teacher's calling, just like, yeah, no, that's not happening, right? So make it manageable so it doesn't get lost or forgotten, and be forgiving to yourself. If you don't get to that task in that day, it's okay. Pick it up tomorrow, but don't stop. Keep going. And it's like a little bit of an uphill at first, but like you said, I want wealth. And then suddenly it's there and it's there and then it's bigger and it's bigger. And it's like, my wealth is here. I got more time freedom here. I got flexibility here. My bank account's growing, and it starts to roll like a snowball downhill. But it's time. It takes time to get up to the top first.
I love how you speak to that. It's, you know, we can't just say, okay, I want wealth, and then of course expect for it to land in our lap. And there is a time there, right, of where we have to believe. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to trust in ourselves. We have to trust in our ability, right? Trust that if I set a goal and I continue to take action, the tiniest footsteps on some days, the giant footsteps on other days, but continue to take those footsteps, trusting that it will be created, because it will. Like, that's the truth of it. You know, there is an energy of resilience in these types of creations. And if we continue to just point in the same direction, we will arrive there. But it's an important thing, because in a society of instant gratification, you know, we tend to go, okay, I want wealth, and then be like, gee, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Never mind. And we throw it out with the baby in the bathwater. You know, we wonder why we never achieved it. It's such an important part. And I want to speak to, you mentioned earlier that when you choose to create wealth, all of a sudden, or, you know, as you start doing this, you start to see it, right? You start to see the money and the cars and the representation of wealth. And it's so powerful because you get to choose, then see that wealth is available, right? Wealth is, there is money. There is not scarcity. There is not lack. And you had mentioned something similar before we started recording about you also get to choose to have time. Instead of saying, I don't have any time, I can't do this, don't have this, that's not available to me, deflecting. And you have the choice to say, okay, how do I make use of the time I have? How do I make use of the resources I have? Can you speak a little bit about those kinds of choices?
Absolutely. So we're all busy. We hear that all the time. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. And I just got so tired of hearing that. That now, if I know you, people probably come out of this and be like, no, it's not that you're too busy. You're just choosing what you're doing with your time. And a great example is I was in an entrepreneur group, and there's going to be a convention in Mexico. And one of the ladies came up to me and she's like, I can't go. She goes, I run my own company. I manage it. I'm like, well, firstly, no. Acknowledge that you're choosing not to go. And she just looks at me kind of funny. I'm like, so firstly, you could go. You have 8 months before this trip is happening. You can line up your management. You can get your company organized in time. You can book it and you can choose to go. She's like, it's simple. You choose one way or another. So make it work for you. And another thing I love about choice is most people always choose the good, happy, the blessing of it. But they don't choose the other side of it. So whether that's your partner, you love so many qualities about them, but there are some qualities that drive you nuts. And some people will be like, well, just accept it. Choose your partner for everything he is and everything he isn't. And it'll just be a lot more peaceful for you. And the same things with money. If you're investing it, regardless of your choice of investment, there's always going to be some kind of a risk. So yeah, we all want the windfall. Gosh darn it, if it goes down under, and that can ruin our day, our week, our month, or stop our wealth altogether. That didn't work, I'm done. It's like, what? Well, no. Learn from it and move forward. But if you choose both sides of the equation before you decide, you don't have to deal with it later. If you do take the loss, it's like, okay, yeah, this is not cool. I don't love it, but I knew this was a possibility, and here are my steps moving forward, because I already knew this was a possibility in the choice I made. So people just look at choices, everything's a choice. And that's what I really would love people to decide. It's like, okay, even weight, if you look at weight and eating healthy, like if you choose not to eat healthy today and tomorrow, and you gain weight, which then leads to maybe strokes, heart, oh, this goes back to choose your heart. Sometimes it's hard to say no to the chocolate. I love chocolate, right? But it's like, okay, do I want my heart now? Say no. Or do I want my heart later and deal with possibly diabetes, right? And I say that because it runs very rapid in my family, and I was a pre-diabetic during my pregnancy. So like, I understand the magnitude of how that works in my body now. But it comes back to the choice. You choose what you put in your body, whether it be physical, food, drink, or mental. What you accept and how you talk to yourself. You choose when you want to go to sleep. You choose whether you can journal or make time for meditation and time for self-care. You choose how you deal and work with your children or not, the answers you give to your boss, your relationship with your partner. They're all choices. And if you feel you have a boss of power somewhere, I would encourage you to look at that, because odds are you didn't choose something in there. And that's why you're feeling this in your stomach, this or this disruptor, this uncomfortability, because it's like, you're not like, woo, in your power. You're like, well, it's weekend, make a choice. And say what you want, because if you want to be happy, you're the only one who can make you happy. And that was a hard one for me to learn, because I just assumed my husband could read my mind. Right? And it's just not possible. And even 10 years, we're coming up on 14 years, you would think, wow, he's been with me for 10 years. He should know that by now. Nope. It's not his priority. I have to communicate that with him. If it's a priority for me and let him know how I feel about that so he can understand and we move forward with it. But if I choose not to say anything, that's not his fault.
Yes. And I love how you brought in chocolate too and the whole, you know, choosing what we eat and stuff, because I also believe or see a lot that sometimes we have this belief that, well, if I, you know, don't buy myself the things that I want to buy myself, which may or may not be in alignment with truly creating your wealth, right? Aligning your money with where you really want to invest it. If I'm not eating the foods that I want to eat, or if I'm not, you know, just watching whatever I want to watch on TV and not meditating, then like we're depriving ourselves something. I've actually had clients say that to me, and it's so interesting to me because I always say, well, but if you had a child, right, or have a child, and the child says, well, I just want to eat candy and watch screens all day long, you say, oh, no, you can't do that, right? Is that deprivation? No, right? That's choosing something that is really ultimately serving them. So we have to parent ourselves, right? We got to be like, come on now. Don't knock it off. Like, choose these better decisions for yourself. Choose the better place to apply your money that you know is going to be beneficial. And we don't have to see it as deprivation, right? We can see it again as, oh, this is really exciting because, hey, if I go to the gym again today, right, that's going to make me feel better. If I choose to not buy the fancy dress, but instead apply the money this place that I know is really going to be what's going to create wealth, I'll get to buy that dress or a dress or 10 dresses down the road when I feel like that's more available with wealth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you find that word deprivation ever with your clients and particularly with the conversation of money?
So you mentioned the great point. We're all about instant gratification, right? And I really see that in my kids. I didn't have them. So when I watch, I'm like, God, nobody likes me. But like that instant gratification, it's, there's something good to feel about waiting for something or knowing you work. And I'm not saying go bust your butt to live necessarily certain things, but I'm saying like, if you can hold on to get something, you'll feel that much better depending on what it is. We don't encourage deprivation, as people might call it. It's like, you want to have chocolate? Go have it. Just don't eat the whole bar. Eat a piece, right? And it's like, you want to go watch Netflix? Perfect. If you can only watch 2-3 hours, take 30 minutes and spend it on like educating yourself on something financial, and then take the other 2 hours and watch, and slowly, and you'll just realize that the Netflix is really not in your wealth. But even 30 minutes a day or whatever that looks like for you will start to add up. And then you're going to start to see the shift in that deprivation mindset. Realize, oh, wait, I'm not deprived. It's a choice. I don't want to watch Netflix all day. I want to have wealth so I can be out there with kids and do the things I love.
Because, yeah, and I love how you speak to more of like the balance, right? And I know that you guys do teach that with the couples you work with and kind of that life work-life balance. I just find it fascinating because deprivation is really along the lines of scarcity, right? Yes, scarcity mindset. And if we believe we're being deprived, we're going to experience as deprivation. But again, if you just say, well, why don't I just give, you know, out of the 2 hours, like you said, 30 minutes, right? You make that choice. It's still aligned for you. You don't create that feeling of deprivation. Now you're actually, you know, still feeling, okay, I get to have it. I get to have my cake and eat it too.
Exactly.
What has been, you know, some of the most challenging choices that you guys have had to make with regards to your wealth?
That's a good one. So back in 2020, we jumped on board with a couple of partners, business partners, and we went pretty all in. And my husband had still a job. He was working 17 years for this company. We decided that he was going to quit and go full time. We noticed on a Thursday, the pandemic hit us Monday. Everything shut down. Of course, you can't plan for that. We weren't expecting it. But now we're both unemployed, trying to build a business. Thankfully for our real estate, it kept us floating for a year and a half, 2 years, which most people don't necessarily have. But we didn't make money, so we learned what's our bottom line. Like, what's our basement living expenses? How can we kind of crunch down until we have income? Because, you know, when you first build a business, the money doesn't generally flow in, especially during the pandemic. So we had to really learn what lean meant. In turn, really showed us how lean we could live, how extravagant we were living, so we could shift it. So we still have a little bit of that extravagance, but have a little bit more to put into wealth to build it bigger and faster. So I'd say that was probably one of the hard things we went through, was just, this is how you build a business. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen over a month or two. Like, oh my gosh, okay. We're at the end of our rope when it comes to like money. What do we do? And so we decided to go back to our original like work that we'd had before we gave it up and just land new jobs and contracts to replenish our funds so that we could continue to build our dream life and our dream business. But it was like at first, because you know, when you're again, when you're like, well, what's the worst that can happen when this don't work out? We go back and get our day jobs, right? Yeah, you don't think you have to. And then we did. And I was like, I was not comfortable. I was pretty mad. But then when I was like, okay, I did say this. I'm choosing to go back. But when I went back, it was a whole different mindset as well. Because I was like, well, I'm choosing to go back for specific reasons. It's a means to an end. It's there to help supplement the lifestyle and the business I want. I don't see it as a grind, a 9-to-5. I'm never going to get out of it. It's like, no, this is giving me the life I want. And so even the way I see my coworkers, my colleagues, and the projects I'm on, I'm like, bring it, guys. We got this, right? It's like a whole different mindset because now I chose to go back and on my terms. So that's, I think that's a big one. A lot of people want to leave their jobs and they jump. And if they fail, they think they failed and that's it. They're doomed. They're stuck to their regular 9-to-5. It's like, well, no, just pick yourself back up. Figure out to get yourself back on track. Start again.
Those lessons are invaluable. They really are. We gain so much awareness and really intelligence from them if we allow ourselves, right? If we allow ourselves to receive that. And it's always so important, I think, for everybody to hear when we hear other people make mistakes, especially if we're desiring that, you know, and it is a courageous act to move from regular salary jobs or a paid position to entrepreneurship. And it doesn't always necessarily work out the first time, or it definitely takes a while. You know, these like quote unquote overnight successes, like that's actually generally 10 years. 10-year business success is considered overnight. But nobody talks about that.
No.
Right? So when I started my business, I was like, overnight success, baby, we're making it happen. I didn't even know that meant 10 years.
Yeah.
But he forgot to tell me the little, like, you know, small wording at the bottom, the fine print.
And then we're hard on ourselves because we actually believe it's an overnight thing's a possibility.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And like, what did I do wrong? Yeah. Right. No, it's absolutely, you know, entrepreneurship is all about making mistakes.
Yeah.
And continuing to show up over and over again, regardless. It's so important. What would you say? Because I know you guys work a lot with couples. It's such an important aspect because there are two minds. And, you know, we could say, oh, every couple to have, you know, aligned values and goals. And yeah, that's definitely true. And again, there's still two people, right? There's still two people making actions, making choices, bringing their creative genius into the world in a relationship. So what do you really recommend for couples to start to align with their choices?
Question. So one of the first things we always almost recommend is schedule the conversation. I know it sounds boring and very business-like, but if you schedule, if you know every, let's say Sunday. So for example, Every Sunday, we have in our calendar a discussion on finances, discussion on relationship, and then we have family intention setting with our little kiddos, right? But we know, so every Sunday, we're going to talk about it. And it's not like, how are our finances? Oh, they're great. No, it's like, how are we doing in this area? What can we do to improve? Or what's our next move? Or if there's something, we got a lump sum of money, it's like, okay, we want to invest it. Where? Let's talk about it, right? So we bring conscious decisions and things to the table to talk about. But another thing that does is, firstly, it sets you up for success because you know it's coming. You're going to have a conversation regardless. You're now aware, so you can prepare for it. You know it's coming, so you don't have to feel like middle of the work. My husband and I both work from home. And so sometimes I just go upstairs and he's in the common area. So I would be like, okay, I'm blah, 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 blah. And he'd be like, Jess, I'm working. Right? And it's like, just disrupted his time. But now it's like, no, okay, it's finance. Put it, make a list so I know I have a space that I can talk to him, which will take out any sort of like conflict. Because if you're sitting on something, regardless of what it is, an issue, and it festers for a day, a week, a month, and then you're just, it just blows. And that is a full on argument. And it's like, if you preset it every week, you know something's going to come up and you're prepared to talk about it in a calm, casual space, as opposed to personalities a little bit irate or angry, and that's when the blame and the past comes out, right? Now it's like, you don't need to worry about that because you know where you stand. And within there, you can also set rules, which we recommend. It's like, okay, talk about something. Firstly, time box it, because there is a real thing called conversation fatigue. I know, we've had it several times, and my husband's finally learned. And I've learned to just call it. Be like, I'm done. I got nothing else to add right now. My mind is blank. Let's rebook. And I'm not saying, like, if there's a heated conversation, you might want to rebook it for the next day. You might not want to wait a week. But, like, rebook it. So, firstly, there's closure, and you both know you can come back to it. But there is no point in carrying a conversation where one person is checked out. That's not going to happen either. Right? So, time box it. And then have decisions within there. So, it might be, like, or rules, I should say, like, maybe, like, okay, I want to talk about this, but I want to focus just on this, and we're not bringing in the past. Or set a specific space where it's like, I just want to know your emotions, your feelings on it. Get that out of the way. And then, okay, what are the actual facts? Now that I've gotten off my mind what I really think, tell me the facts. And then I'm actually in a space to hear the facts and be like, I didn't know that. But if I'm all, you're giving me facts, right? Like, so just get yourself in a headspace to accept what your partner's talking about. And we always say to lead in with seven questions. So, like, how do you propose we can do that? Or how does that look to you? Because the minute you go, why do you want to do that? It's accusatory and their defense is up. And now they're looking at, like, what did I do wrong? Well, what happened here? Instead of, like, actually having the conversation you're meant to have. So those are a few tips.
Really great point, because definitely being asked, why do you want to do something like that? It feels more like somebody's, like, questioning you, right? Versus, okay, well, how do you want to do that? Oh, all right. Then that feels really open. I really love that advice. Do you ever have couples where couple is continuously making the choices that aren't aligned with wealth? And if so, how do you help the couples through that?
It's a great question. So generally, when we start our program, we build the first half is on foundation. And some people come in and they're like, oh, right? Because they're like, they just want, how do I invest real estate now? Right? And we're like,
what foundation?
Yeah. We're like, no, we're going to start with foundation. And that starts with values, right? What are your values? And we get the couple to do it separately, their homework. Then they got to come together and go through it. And that's where I find the little surprises to realize, oh, I didn't know that was one of your values. And we've never had an issue, at least yet, where it's been a bad thing. It's just knowledge. They never talked about it. And there's like, oh, well, I'm okay with that. And I'm comfortable with that. And that's similar. And or I can adopt or accept that, right? So if you come to the core of your values, and then we talk about, like, we do the same thing, like, with adversity. We get them to do assessments on adversity, assessments on how prepared they feel they are. Right. And like to the financial side, like, okay, go through this and then come together. And there's a lot of things that'll open up right there to show where you and your partner are not aligned. And that just right away gives you that knowledge base to know where your partner is. So they might not understand finance the way you do, or they might think they're prepared and you're sitting there going, what, how are we prepared? Right. And it's just a different understanding and preparation. So once you get all that out of the way, they're now on the same page when it comes to what happens if adversity strikes. How prepared are we for these different situations? What does finance mean to us? What are our values for have your independent ones, but what are our values combined for our family? So I find that just really lays a nice foundation to now get into, like, okay, now that you guys know that about each other and where your hiccups are as well, let's talk about building your wealth plan. So what does it look like? And again, go away, come together, and then we work with them as well. Okay, what does that look like? And tell us what your wealth plan looks like long-term, 5, 10, 15 years, depending on age and where they are. What does that look like? Okay, great. Now let's talk about what it's going to take to get you there. So, and generally by then, they're on the same page because they've worked out all these other little underlying issues, right? Because if they're like, oh, I don't want to build my wealth, well, that would be a red flag right there. It's like,
that's a big red flag.
Like, who doesn't want to build their wealth?
So you don't, after all of that, which is such powerful work, and I love how you say, yeah, they want to come in and just, okay, let's build our wealth. And just like anything, you have to build a foundation on a building, right, before you go to build the building. Otherwise, it'll take the tiniest little cake or a little bit of water or whatever, you know, quote unquote, natural disaster that will just tear the whole building down, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, so after you're building that foundation, it sounds like you guys don't really run into a lot of issues where, regardless of all the value in the foundation building, one of the partners just continues to make bad choices or unaligned choices?
So the bad choices, I think they come out to an understanding. Like, do they understand why they're making those choices, right? And where is their partner when it comes to those choices? Like, is it independent? Are you aware and you're not seeing anything? So it comes to really getting all the baggage out, to put it quite bluntly, like, are you disclosing everything? Because we can't help you. You can't help you if you got skeletons in your closet. So come out with everything, and then we can help you. Because it might be like, if they have, say, bad habits, spending habits, for example, and sometimes that's like, it's an addiction. It's kind of like, oh, I'm stressed out, go long road shopping.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, let's back up. Right? Like, that's an addiction to go shopping. You want to stop the shopping, but you can't stop the shopping if you don't know what's causing the addiction or what's, and if it's the stress, what's causing the stress? So you really have to back that up, figure out the root cause, because we can't band-aid it. Band-aid later when you're investing in whatever it is, it's just going to be a bigger disaster if it's a band-aid, right? So we got to rip that band-aid off and find out what's under there and help you figure that part out first, so you know consciously, because it's going to take time for you to change that habit, especially if you know you've been doing it for years, right? Going to the shopping app, I'm going, oh, and then you're like, oh, wait, I'm stressed. Put the phone down and look at why I'm stressed. And then you're not spending money on the shopping app. As an example, it's one of my clients I know who had that. But it's a real thing that people struggle with. But that doesn't mean both partners are struggling with it, right? One partner might literally not understand it. They're just like, oh, she's got a shopping habit, bad shopping habit. And then they wave it off. It's like, no, let's understand why your partner does. Because then you can help her have that stress that's causing her shopping habit. But it's all like a ripple effect, a domino effect, where if let's get you and your partner aligned so that they, when they see these little flags or these little things coming to you, they can help come in between to shift where you are, or if you're struggling, to support you. Because you've got your support from your partner, that's an incredible place to be.
It really is. I mean, when we support each other, it's just unification, isn't it? We're so much more powerful working together than separate. And all of that advice is so wonderful. I really especially like the sitting down, the having the conversations, the setting the plans, you know, setting the goals, really digging into that. Otherwise, you know, I always say, without intention, we're just splattering paint on the canvas of our reality. You know, we're not intentionally painting, we'd call life by design, which is really gorgeous. Jocelyn, this has been so wonderful. I love this conversation. Tell the audience how they can find you, reach out to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So you can go to our website, Discover Life by Design, and you can find out all kinds of information there, including you can download our wealth guide. I'm also Discover Life by Design on all social platforms. We release a podcast as well every 2 weeks. So you can go, it's actually Life by Design. We don't have a Discover for that one, but we've been out since January. So there's lots of tips and advice we share about our journey and what we've learned on how to build our wealth and our relationship. So check those out and please message me if you ever have any questions or want more information.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, my love, for being a part of the conversation.
Thank you.
And to the audience, consider joining the Facebook group Wealth Embodied. And as always, I'll see you next Tuesday for the next solo episode. I appreciate you so very much.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.